hymn number 365. Hymn number 365. And let's stand together and sing, Savior, like a shepherd leads. Please remain standing for scripture reading.
Good morning, everyone. Please turn to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew 21, and we'll read verses 1 through 11 responsibly. Matthew 21, 1 to 11. Beginning on verse 1. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied, and a colt with her. Loose them, and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Sion, Behold, the king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and a colt the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitude that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come unto Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you that your face was fixed firmly upon the cross, and Lord, that you faithfully took each step to secure eternal life for us, salvation. And Lord, we pray now that you'd help us also to stay focused, fruitful, and faithful in gratitude and obedience to what you've done for us. Lord, we thank you now for the preaching portion of this service and ask for your bountiful blessing upon our pastor as he ministers to us. Speak to us through your word this day, we ask. Revive us, strengthen us, and help us, Lord, to be all we can for you. In your precious name we ask. Amen. Please be seated.
third day. Through the darkness, the ladies made their way up the hill, through the garden to the grave, where they heard holy angels proclaim, "He's not here." He arose just like he said, "He's not here. You won't find him among the dead. He's not here. He's conquered his prison. He's not here. He's risen." Mary and Martha ran back down the hill to tell the greatest story they ever would tell. 3 days ago at Calvary crucified, now praise God forevermore, He's alive. He's not here, He arose and said, "He's not here. You won't find Him among the dead. He's not here. He's conquered sin's prison. He's not here. He is risen. He's not here. He arose just like He said. He's not here. You won't find Him among the dead. He's not here. He's conquered sin's prison. He's not here. He is risen. He is risen."
Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. On Friday, my wife and Pastor Walsh and I went to Bousfield funeral. Cindy's father-in-law passed away about a week earlier, Friday before. So we went up to support Cindy and Kristen and Ron, and I just asked you to pray. We came to the luncheon after, and we went to sit down with Cindy, and she was sharing the gospel with her son Robin, and then she asked me to take over, and I was able to present him with the gospel message. And he said, "You know, I'm glad to have the facts, and I can really think about this and know the truth." And so would you pray for Robin's salvation and encourage him to put his faith in Christ? And so we're praying that we'll see him saved. And, you know, if you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, you need to be saved. And it's funny how we can go to a doctor and a doctor will say, "I have cancer." And you'll say, "Okay, I believe you." And you say, "I need to do surgery." And you say, "Okay, I believe you." And if you have something wrong with your home, a contractor will come by and you'll tell you what to do and you'll go ahead and do it. But a preacher says you need the Lord and you say, "Ah, you're crazy." You know, we need the Lord. Jesus Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me." And if I could just take a minute before we get into our message this morning, I want to share the gospel with you. Make sure that you know that you're a child of God, that you've come to the Father through Jesus Christ, the Son. And know there's all kinds of portions of scriptures that you can look at that lead us to salvation. Ephesians chapter 2 is a great way. The Bible, he's talking to the church at Ephesus, and he says, "You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." I want you to notice, and I just make little notes in my Bible and try to put little things there when I find them. And what I wrote here was, we had a regrettable past. The Bible says we were dead in trespasses and sins. You know, the Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none that doeth good, no, not one." And we're all sinners and we all need a Savior. And the Bible says in verse 2, "Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." Now let me ask you this, if you are to walk in the ways of the world, do you think that that makes you fit for heaven? Somebody go ahead and answer me. No way. The Bible says that Jesus Christ was speaking out against this. In Ephesians, Paul the apostle was speaking out against this. And he says, "You were dead. You were dead in trespasses and sins." Why? Because wherein in time past, before you were saved, before you trusted Christ, you walked according to the course of this world. You ever been on a roller coaster? Who's been on a roller coaster? You like those things? Yeah, they're fun for a minute. Unless you've had a hot dog or something. But you know, that's what the world is like. It gets you on a track and it just holds you there. And it twists and it turns and you think you're okay and you think, "Boy, this is a great ride. This is a lot of fun." And you know you're not going to fall off, or you hope you're not going to fall off. I was in Edmonton when I was about 14 and they had that roller coaster closed down because it had fallen off the tracks. But you know, the truth is you will fall off the tracks. If you try to follow the course of this world and try to follow after what the world offers, that will not secure heaven for you. That will not forgive your sins. We had a regrettable past. Verse 3 says, among whom also we had all our conversation or our behavior in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But look what verse 4 says, but God, isn't it wonderful the Bible says, but God every once in a while? But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. I put in my margin, we had a regrettable past, but in verse 4 and 5 I see redemption's power. The Bible says, God who is rich in mercy. By the way, if the world can save you, why do you need mercy? It's because we're all sinners. We're all like sheep that have gone astray. We're all lost, following after our own lust. And the Bible says, God, who is rich in mercy for His great love, wherein He hath loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us. That word quickened means He made us alive. That's redemption's power. God has the power today to share His mercy with you and to make you alive. And here's the key, together with Christ. By grace are you saved. So I put a little note there, redemption's power. But then I want you to see that once we have redemption come into our lives, He exalts us to a royal position. Verse 5, the Bible says, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. He made us alive. In other words, by grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Listen, friend, if you're lost in your sins today, here's the wonderful story of the gospel. Jesus Christ died for you. That's how God showed His mercy to you. He shed His blood to pay the ransom for your sin. And if you will put your faith and trust in Him, by His mercy and by His grace, He will save you and allow you to sit in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. What a change! You were following after the course of this world, but you can be saved today and sit in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Now look at the Bible says, the last little thing, we also see that we are a rescued people. In verse 8 it says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Do you know we're not only saved from our sins, we're saved from our own self-righteousness, from our works, the Bible says. A lot of people are trying to work their way to heaven by the course of this world. They think, well, if I'm just a good person, if I just give to charity, if I just do my best in life to live peaceably with other men, that I'll be fine and I'll go to heaven. The Bible says you need to be saved by His mercy and by His grace, by putting your faith and trust in Him. And you can be rescued today if you'll come to Him. But the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Let me ask you today, friend, are you saved? Are you born again? You can be saved today if you'll ask Jesus Christ. If you'll trust Him by faith, if you'll come to Him. And the Bible says God is rich in mercy. You know, some people sometimes will say, well, I wonder, can God save an old sinner like me? God is rich in mercy. Let me tell you, God's riches far exceed our riches. There's a lot on the news right now about the royal wedding. Man, those people got some money, don't they? And they're talking about how much this dress is going to cost. And they're talking about how much their honeymoon's going to cost and how much the wedding's going to cost. And people are going to get up. Don't raise your hand, but you know some of you are going to get up at 3 a.m. and watch that thing. You know you will. And I know that because my mom got up at 3 a.m. for Princess Diana, 30 years ago. We're curious, aren't we? But you know that they have nothing compared to God's riches. Not a penny compared to what God has. God is not going to run out of mercy. And if you need to be saved, you can trust Him today. Turn to Matthew chapter 21. We're going to look at our message this morning. That wasn't our message. I want to share with you the gospel of Jesus Christ very quickly. And if you need to be saved, friend, you need to come to Jesus today. Matthew chapter 21. We're going to look just at a couple of things today. I want you to direct your attention, if you will, to verse 10. The Bible says, and when he was come into Jerusalem, look at that next phrase, it's the title of our message, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? And the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. Let's pray. Father, help us understand your word today. And Father, maybe there's one here today that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. May today be the day of salvation. Father, speak to their heart. And Lord, in just the brief gospel message from the book of Ephesians, may they see their need of a Savior, that all are sinners, all are lost, all are following the course of this world. But God, who is rich in His mercy, wants to change all that by sending His Son, showing us mercy and grace. And if we'll just put our faith in Him, we can have eternal life. Father, I pray that you'd quiet our hearts now and bless us as we look to your word. Fill me with thy Holy Spirit. I need your help. And Father, we will thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew chapter 21 and verse 10. Again, the Bible says, and when he, Jesus Christ, was coming to the city, or coming to Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? I think if we read our Bibles carefully, we will find and come to the understanding that Jesus had a special affection for different places in his ministry. Now, that's not to say that Jesus loved any group of people more than he loved any other. For a matter of fact, we know that Jesus went to Samaria and those people were hated by the Jews. And yet he said, I must have needs go through Samaria. And there he met the woman at Jacob's well and shared with her the blessed gospel of Jesus Christ. And she went into the city and she told others, is this not the Christ? Is this not the Messiah? He's told me all the things that I've ever done. And many believed because of her testimony. And Jesus loved people. But as we read the Bible, we see that he spent a lot of time around Galilee. I'm sure Jesus had an affinity for those people and an affection for them because that was his home. There was family there. There was people that he loved and friends that he had grown up with. And so I'm sure he spent some time there for that reason and because of that purpose. And also the Lord spent a lot of time at Bethany. It seemed like it was a reasonable place. It wasn't far from Jerusalem and he could rest there. But he also had his friends Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, whom he loved dearly. It was almost like a retreat for him to go there. Isn't it good to get around God's people? It's good to get with people that are of like mind, that you can fellowship with and laugh with. And I imagine the Lord Jesus Christ always looked forward to his trips into Bethany because it was there that he would meet with these folks and really just have a good time with them. I'm sure that Jesus could laugh and enjoy their fellowship and presence and really just be himself and just have a good time. You got a friend like that? Boy, it's good to get around people like that, isn't it? We have a missionary friend coming in a couple weeks, and you'll be here with us in the church. And he's preached here before, Brother Jim Arnold. And Jim is one of my dearest friends. I've gone to Africa with him twice now. And I'll tell you, whenever we were in the ministry for several years now, whenever we seemed to get discouraged, Jim would call. Whenever we needed a good laugh, he'd come and visit. And it just seemed like, and we would do the same for him. He'd come up to meetings in Rochester, New York, and we'd go down and visit with him. And boy, we get together, and we just laugh all the time. And you need that. And I'm sure that's why Jesus spent that time in Bethany, because those were his friends. But you know, another place he'd like to go often was Jerusalem. He spent a lot of time there, and the Bible says he was in and out of that city many times. And finally, this last time, as he was seeking to go once more to Jerusalem, he announced to his disciples that's where he was headed. And Peter spoke up and said, Lord, don't go to Jerusalem, for they seek to kill thee. Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God. In other words, this is God's will, Peter. You don't understand what's going on in the will of God right now. You don't understand what God has planned for me. Peter, get behind me. Get out of my way. Don't try to stop me from fulfilling God's purpose for my life. And as Jesus came to Jerusalem, the Bible says, and in verse 21 and verse 1, and when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, they were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives. Then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, go into the village Go into the village over against you, and straightway you shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto thee, ye shall say, the Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and a colt the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and straw them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Why did Jesus make this final trip to Jerusalem? Well, we know for a fact that it was God's will that he would perish upon a cross and shed his blood for all mankind. But you know, I believe that if God had said to Jesus, why don't you go ahead and choose where you will die? Why don't you make the decision where you will make the sacrifice for sin? I believe Jesus would have chose Jerusalem. And the reason I say that is because it was God's holy city. It was the capital city of Israel, if you will, and it was that place where God's people were. You know, Jesus had a very great concern for the Jews. As a matter of fact, as soon as Jesus died and ascended up into heaven, he said this to the disciples, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. But I want you to notice that the Holy Ghost was going to come upon them, and they were going to be witnesses, but they were going to Jerusalem first. That was their job. They were going to go into Samaria and Judea and all throughout the earth. We know that to be true. But he says, Jerusalem's first. Now you say, is that because Jesus loved them more? No, not because he loved them more. But because it's just natural to want to reach out to your own people first. To have a desire to win your family and your friends to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's natural in the heart of these disciples to have a care and concern. And I want to say today, it was natural in the heart of Jesus to want to reach his own family and his own people first. I think that goes without saying. I'm reminded of another thought as we consider Israel this morning. In the days of Esther, Mordecai challenged her to petition the king on behalf of the Jews with these words. He says, and who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? In other words, Mordecai was saying to Esther, God has put you here for a purpose, that you might save your own people. Those thoughts challenge me today. As I think of what Jesus said to the disciples, I want you to go to Jerusalem. I want you to go to the Jew first. And as Mordecai was challenging Esther, God has put you here for a purpose to save your people. I think it ought to stir us to understand that we have a responsibility to our people. We have a responsibility to the town of Simcoe, to Delhi, to Waterford, to Jarvis, to Port Dover. We ought to have a desire in our heart to reach our families first for Christ. We ought to have a desire in our heart to reach out to those around us. But you know, it saddens me to say today that as the Lord Jesus Christ rode into Jerusalem, the Bible says in verse 10, when he was coming to Jerusalem, all the city was moved. When was the last time we saw Norfolk County moved for the cause of Christ? When was the last time we saw a revival take place in this area? That when you knocked on the door, people were thrilled to see you. Brother Judge might remember this. I think Rob's in the side room here, TV room. And the first time I ever went door knocking in Simcoe, I was probably about 14 or 15, and I was with Rob Judge. And we went knocking on doors, and we knocked on several doors. And I can't remember what street we were on, but we knocked on the door. We began to talk to somebody and said, hey, we want to invite you out to church. Just wonder if you go to church anywhere. And we got into that a little bit, and Rob was doing the talking, and I was supposed to be learning. And so you can learn things from Rob. And I was listening, and Rob was leading, and he was knocking on doors. And finally, the lady said, hell, you know what? I'd like to hear this. And my husband needs to hear this. Would you guys come on in? We said, okay, great. So we went in and we sat on the couch. She said, now I'm going to go get my husband. He's out in the garage working on the backyard. She says, I'm going to go get him. I'll bring him back. And you guys, and I turned to Rob and I said, what do we do now? And he goes, I don't know. We never got this far before. But that's the truth, isn't it? When was the last time Norfolk was stirred? Where there was a buzz in the air that God was doing something. That people were being saved. Oh, we need it. Let me show you what the Scripture says this morning. There are some verses I'd like you to consider and see if you notice some of the similarities. Genesis chapter 26 and verse 4, God was speaking to Abraham, and He said, I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, He said, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16 says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. You notice the similarities in those verses? As God was speaking to Abraham, He said, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed through the seed that I will raise up from among your kindred. I believe He's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ right there. That Jesus Christ would raise up from the seed of Abraham and all the nations of the earth would be blessed. Let me ask you, is Canada one of those nations? Absolutely. The Bible says in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, you will go into Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Is Canada part of the uttermost parts of the earth? Absolutely. But sometimes we say, well, can it be done in Canada? Can we build a church in Canada? Can souls still be saved in Canada? God is concerned about Canada. And souls can still be saved. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. Salvation was for the Jew and to everyone that believeth. People can still be saved in Simcoe, Ontario. But it's going to take some work. What is my point? Here's my point this morning. Just as Jesus understood His divine appointment from the Father and set out to save all of Jerusalem and later the world, we too have been placed here for a divine purpose. You know, it's not an accident that you're part of Bethel Baptist Church. It's not an accident that God has placed you here in Simcoe. You know, you think about this, a lot of our young people in Simcoe grow up and they go to college and they get married and they leave. Because they're looking for jobs and they got to go start careers. We're going to make it a rule here. I don't know if Alicia knows this, but if you're going to be married at Bethel Baptist Church, you have to stay for 5 years. Amen? That's a rule. But we don't want to hold people back. But let me just say this, and I'm not trying to run down the... Nobody says, well, you know what, I think I'm just going to go live in Simcoe. I mean, there's great industry there. There's great... No, there's not. Brother Stone was telling me in St. Thomas, Ontario, they've had 4 of their automotive factories close. And people are losing jobs like wild. He says, we have to just keep winning souls of the people that are here because nobody's moving here anymore. Nobody wants to come here. There's no jobs. God has placed you here for a purpose. You didn't come here by accident or because you decide. God has put you here. And the purpose is that we might reach Simcoe with the Lord Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 13, here's what Jesus did. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killeth the prophets and stoneth them that are sent out of thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. Jesus wept over the city. He prayed for the city. He ministered in the city. He physically cleansed the temple in the city. And yet He was rejected over and over and over again. And yet after all that happened, He still said, let's go to Jerusalem, Peter. Peter said, no! He says, get thee behind me, Satan. God's got a purpose. I want to tell you that God has a purpose for you as well. He said, what is God's will for my life? I can tell everyone in this room what God's will is for your life right now. God is not willing that any should perish. That's God's will. It's right in the verse. Well, I'm struggling. What's God? God is not willing that any should perish. God wants us all. He said, well, I don't know if I'm called. You don't need a call when you got a command. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. God has already commanded you. As the Lord Jesus Christ came into Jerusalem, the Bible says when He was coming to Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, "Who is this?" Should this not be our heart's cry for Simcoe, Delhi, Jarvis, Waterford, Port Dover, Port Rowan, all of Norfolk County, that they would know who Jesus is? And they would cry out in their hearts for Him. So, well, what happened? What caused that to happen? Well, I just want to give you three things very quickly. The first thing is this. Jesus rode into Jerusalem that day triumphant like a king. As Jesus came into the city, the people cut down palm branches and they began to cover the road. You see, in those days, to honor a king, that's what you would do. You would cover the road before Him. We still do that, don't we? We call it rolling out the red carpet. And so when dignitaries come, you'll notice, have you ever seen the president get off an airplane, Air Force One or whatever? They have a red carpet right out there on the tarmac, don't they? Heaven forbid his $400 shoes touch pavement. But they roll out that red carpet and it's a sign that this is a dignitary. This is a very important person. And so as the Lord Jesus Christ came in, the people, they didn't have a carpet they could roll out, but they began to cut palms off the tree and they laid it down upon the ground and they began to cry out, "Hosanna!" Which means the Lord is salvation. They poured those out before Him and He received much honor that day as the people crowned Him and honored Him. And I wonder if that in some sectors of the city, as the swell of the crowd arose and as the noise and the shouts of Hosanna and blessed be He that cometh in the name of the Lord, as it echoed throughout the... Who's been to Jerusalem here? Who's ever been to Jerusalem? I've never been there. But they say those stone cobblestone streets and the stone walls just echo if you're to talk in them. I was in Old Quebec City last summer. And I can't compare it to Jerusalem, but I would suspect it's like that in that they have the cobblestone streets and they have the narrow streets and the high stone walls. And as you were just talking with somebody, you're just bouncing, you can hear it all. Can you imagine the crowds of people as they said, "Hosanna! Glory to God! Blessed is He that cometh in the name of the Lord!" And it just echoed through that city. And maybe somebody off in the distance says, "Who is this? It's causing all this racket. Who's causing all this stir?" A neighbor began to whisper in there and said, "What's all that noise over there? It sounds like an earthquake coming through the city. What's going on?" And the Bible says, all the city was moved. I want to apply that to us today. In order for us to see Norfolk County move, to see Simcoe move, to see all these little towns and villages moved, they have to know that we have a victorious King. They have to hear that the Jesus Christ is alive and well in Simcoe. That we serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. But friends, do they know we have a victorious King? Do they see the power of God in our lives? Do they know? That's what stirs a city. They need to know something's going on. We were talking about the health program this summer, and I was talking to Brother Stone, and I said, "Yeah, we got that big yard over there. We can put your big tent up over there." And he goes, "Well, we'll just do it in the gym." He says, "We don't need to do it out in the yard." He says, "We got the gym. We put all the kids in there." And I said, "Man, put the tent up anyway." He said, "Why do you want to put the tent up?" He said, "We're not going to eat. Nobody will be in it." I said, "Put the tent up so Simcoe knows something's going on at the church." Amen. Well, it's going to be, I don't care how much work it is. We'll get some guys out there. We'll drive the stakes. We'll get that tent out. But everybody that drives by is going to know something's going on here. Amen? Well, listen, putting up a tent and having some tent meetings and having some health program, that's not enough. They need to know about the victorious King that lives in our lives. They need to hear the shouts of Hosanna from Bethel Baptist Church. They need to know that we serve a risen Savior. There were shouts of Hosanna, shouts of Lord, save us. Listen, friend, when was the last time your friends and your neighbors knew that you served a victorious King? Several years ago, I was out shoveling our snow. And I had started our minivan. We had an old green Plymouth Voyager. And it was warming up and put the defrosters on. It had been a real cold night. So the neighbor came by. John Brooks was his name. And he began to shovel and I began to shovel. And we were trying to chip away the ice. You know when it gets real cold, it gets real, those real hard boulders. we were trying to break them up and shovel them away. And we were just standing. We started talking and visiting a little bit. And all of a sudden, it sounded like a gunshot went off. And the back window of my van just exploded. I just blew up. And it's scary. You know, it makes you jump. Especially in the neighborhood we were living. We thought maybe we'd been shot or something. And so that thing blew up. And I turned and he jumped and I jumped and I turned. And when I saw what it was, I started laughing. You know, it's just kind of that nervous energy and, you know. And he says, ow. He said, that's nothing to laugh at. That's going to cost you $300. And so I'm not worried about it. God will take care of it. And it just, I wasn't trying to do anything. It just came out of my mouth. God will take care of it. I'm not worried about that. Lord will take care of that. So I went down that day and got the window fixed. And it was a Wednesday. That night, somebody came to church and handed me $300 in cash. Didn't even know what had happened. I was very careful to go back and tell Mr. Brooks and show him what had happened. Say, hey, God took care of it. They need to know we serve a victorious King. That we have a living Savior. That we have somebody that'll hear our prayers and know our cries, that cares about us, that loves us, that died for us, that shed His blood for us, that paid the price for our sin, that's preparing a heavenly home for us, and He's coming again for us. And friends, that will stir a city when they know you have a victorious King. Let me ask you this. Who were those in history who made the most stir? It were those that had Christ in their heart. They were the greatest men that ever lived. Not only did they have a victorious King, it was the cries of Hosanna that stirred that city. Psalm chapter 118, you can turn there with me. This is where Hosanna comes from. Psalm chapter 118. Hosanna means save us now. And in verse 25, it says, save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. Matthew chapter 21 is the fulfillment of Psalm chapter 118, where the Bible says, save us now. They said, Hosanna. Later in verse 26, it says, blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And they quoted almost directly in Matthew chapter 21, the cries of Hosanna. In other words, the people who met the Savior on that road that day realized they had a need of Him. And they depended upon the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I believe with all my heart, we would see more happen if we would humble and surrender ourselves to God. Sometimes we go out and we think we're the greatest soul winners that ever lived. We think we can do it in our own flesh. We can teach a Sunday school class. We can run a bus ministry. We can work in junior church. We can run Awanas. We can talk to children. We can talk to adults. It doesn't matter. We know the Bible inside out and backwards. We can quote Scripture. We can read the Romans Road, and we know it off the top of our heads. But friends, if you're doing it in the flesh, it'll never work. How many of those people that met Jesus that day on this road, on what they call Palm Sunday, how many of them do you believe were followers of Jesus Christ? How many of them do you believe already had faith in their heart enough to be saved? I believe probably most of them. You say, why is that? It's just the fact that they could come and honor the King and say, Lord, save us. Hosanna. Blessed be he that comes. It just shows me their heart. These were saved people. These were people that were calling upon Jesus. And yet in great humility they bowed before Him. And they trusted in His power. And the city began to stir. You know, we have too many people that are refined and polished. Paul said, when I came to you, I came not to you in excellency of speech. He said, I didn't know how to speak right. Maybe he stuttered, I don't know. Maybe he grasped for words. Last Wednesday night, Brother Bowman got up here and boy, he was just fumbling all over his words, and he blamed his wife because she was expecting a child. He says, I'm all messed up because my wife's pregnant. Then I got up and I started fumbling all over my words and I said, I caught what Brother Bowman has. Now everybody thinks my wife's pregnant. It's not true. All right? I'll say it right on TV. No more. Four and no more. Amen. But Paul was like that. Maybe he was just like stumbling over his words. And said, you know, I'm just an old country preacher. I'm not refined. I don't know the scripture like Peter does. I didn't walk with Jesus for 3 years. But when I came to you in power. Because he was relying upon Jesus. Acts chapter 4 and verse 13. Peter and John healed the man at the gate called Beautiful. And the Bible says he went into the temple that day leaping and praising God. And boy, the rulers didn't like that. I'd like to know what kind of rulers don't like them when they heal a man that's laid on a blanket since he was born. I mean, how cruel is that? But nonetheless, they didn't like it, so they brought Peter and John before the council. And the Bible says they acknowledged in Acts chapter 4 and verse 13 that they were unlearned and ignorant men, but they knew they'd been with Jesus. That was the difference. D.L. Moody met a man one day and was talking to him on the street, and the man had visited him with him many times. And finally he said to Mr. Moody, he says, I don't understand. He says, how you can have a ministry the size you have and how you can be taking these boys off the street and cleaning them up and straightening them. He didn't know about salvation. Now, I don't know what's going on. He says, and how he says, there's nothing special about you. He says, you don't have any charisma whatsoever. I don't understand. He says, I'm going to come to your meeting Friday night. And I'm going to find out what's going on. So the gentleman came to the meeting that night, and Mr. Moody got up and preached the Word of God and the power of the Holy Ghost. And that man came forward at the end and accepted Christ as his Savior. And he said to Mr. Moody, he says, I still don't understand it. There's still nothing special about you. And Mr. Moody said, that's absolutely right. There's nothing special about me. But he says, I've been with Jesus. They were unlearned and they'd been ignorant men. They were fishermen. And probably never went to school as kids. They were poor. Growing up in Israel and having to work with their hands for a living and try to do whatever they could to help support their family. So they didn't get to go to school with all the other kids. And they didn't get to enjoy education like others might. And they were unlearned, but they'd been with Jesus. They had the power of God upon them. The cry of Hosanna is a cry of dependence. God save us. God help us. The third thing that caused a stir is they had a ready answer. Matthew chapter 21. In verse 10, the Bible says, when he was coming to Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? Verse 11, and the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. Do you know why I believe we don't cause as much stir as we should? Because we're not ready with an answer. When somebody comes and asks for the hope that is within us, we say, well, let me take you to talk to my preacher. Why don't you come to church on Sunday and maybe that'll be able to help you. Why don't you come and come to teens with me and maybe Brother Walsh can... Listen, the Bible says this, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. The Bible says the multitude said everybody knew how to tell about Jesus. Everybody was a soul winner. How about you? Sometimes you say, well, preacher, you're right. Simcoe needs the Lord and Delhi needs the Lord and Port Dover needs Christ. And boy, we need to get busy and we need to get to Waterford and Jarvis and Hagersville. And we need to get all of Norfolk County. We need to tell ours about Christ. Well, what about you? What about you? We may not all be called to be pastors, but we're all called to be preachers. You may not all be called to be a missionary, but you're all called to be evangelists. Sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with others. The Bible says the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth, of Galilee. They were ready with their answer. Have you ever been caught off guard? I was in a motel a year ago. About this time, last April, I was in a Heritage Baptist Church Missions Conference. And I was sitting down in the lobby. They had a breakfast area. And I was sitting there and I had my Bible. And I was eating some breakfast there and reading my Bible. A gentleman came down and his wife, and they sat at the table next to me. And he looked over and he says, "That's a good book you're reading." I said, "Yes, thank you." He said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" It's like Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. He said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" I said, "Yeah, I hope so." I said, "You know, there's a lot I don't understand, but I hope that I'm reading and understanding it like I should." I said, "I'm a Baptist pastor," and I began to tell him, and he began to tell me he was a pastor coming up and helping out a church in Barrie that lost their pastor. I don't can't remember what church it was. It was a Baptist church. I don't know which one. And he began to, so we began to talk and fellowship a little bit. But you know, it was just thrilled. That's the first person I can remember in my entire life that has publicly asked me if I knew I was saved. Outside of church. You understand what I'm saying? Not like Sunday school and things. But just being out in the public and sitting somewhere as the first person I can ever remember that's tried to witness to me. No wonder there's no stir. No wonder Simcoe's not wondering what's going on over here. We have to be ready to give an answer. We have to be ready to share the gospel. Do you know that Simcoe is our starting point? For some, it's Port Dover. For some, it's Jarvis. For some, it's wherever you're from. That's your starting point. And before we can go into all the world, we have to start right here. I'm so thankful. You know, Bethel is one of, from all the time I've been around, is one of the great mission churches. We do well supporting missions and missionaries and works and reaching out to the world. But what about Simcoe? What about our town? I think the Lord Jesus Christ was coming to Jerusalem because that was His people. He'd wept over them. He'd prayed over them. He said, "How many times have I tried to gather you, but you would not?" But He tried one more time. Listen, are you ready with an answer? Are you crying, "Hosanna"? Are you showing your dependence upon the Lord? Do you serve a mighty King? Are you sharing what God is doing in your life? Let them see it. You say, "Well, what difference does it make, preacher, if I'm the only one?" Well, maybe you'll get your neighbor. Or 10 of your neighbors, or your family. But if the entire church gets on fire, what stir would be caused in Norfolk County? 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Paul was writing back to the church of Thessalonica. And he began to name a couple little towns. And he says, "I went to these places and I tried to share the gospel." But he says, "Everywhere I went, your faith to God was spread." He says, "You've already preached there." He said, "The work had already been done. The seed had already been sowed." And I expect from the way that Paul was talking, so many had accepted Christ as their Savior, he couldn't find anybody left. He says, "Everywhere I went." Wouldn't that be a wonderful testimony of Bethel Baptist Church? Wouldn't it be great? Jehovah's Witnesses go down there next week to Delhi and they're knocking on a door. And somebody answers the door and says, "Oh, I'm sorry. I already got saved because somebody from Bethel came here." And every door they knocked on, they said, "I heard the gospel from Bethel. I heard the gospel from somebody at Bethel. I heard the gospel from somebody in Simcoe." Wouldn't that be a wonderful testimony? It's going to take a revival in our hearts. It's going to take showing the world that we have a King. It's going to take some cries of Hosanna. It's going to take us being ready to prepare ourselves to give an answer to anybody. Are you sharing the gospel? Let's pray that God would help us. Father, help us to have the testimony that we should have. Lord, we know we serve a mighty, victorious, glorious King. But Lord, what is good is a light that's hidden under a bushel. Father, we pray, Lord, that you'd help us to put that light upon like a city upon a hillside that cannot be hid. Christ, you challenge us to let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. Father, that is our prayer for Bethel Baptist Church, that we be living, breathing testimonies of the grace of God and what He has done in our lives. Help us, Lord, to reach out with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning as piano plays. as your Lord and Savior. We don't want to leave this place without giving you an opportunity to come and talk to somebody and let them pick a Bible and show what it means to have eternal life. Their heads bowed and eyes closed. Maybe there's one. Say, "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. If I were to die right now, I don't know if I'd have eternal life." Maybe you're young and say, "Well,